You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
Father, we thank you that you gave that opportunity to everyone just to be close to you. We thank you in advance for everything that you purpose to do today. And sometimes it's just challenging just to get up and try to talk, because you've been so good to us that we're overcome with the emotion of seeing a glimpse of what our life would be like if it wasn't in you. So, Father, I just thank you that you've given me the strength, the ability, the talent, the increase to come before you and to come before this congregation and to bring your word, that it will be in power, might, and dominion, that it cannot return void, but it must prosper in the things wherefore you sent it. And we just thank you, Father, in advance that you've chosen us in this time. So because you chose us, we choose to walk in your light, walk in your anointing, and to do what nobody else can do, because you picked each one of us with a talent, a gift, an ability. And when we choose not to do that, that ram that you sent got the blessing that we were supposed to receive. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Y'all can sit down if you can. Goodness, man. Praise and worship team, y'all did an awesome job. I'm just telling the congregation, y'all better jump in. Y'all better jump in there. If you can sing, you need to join. Glory to God. So, got a new teaching starting today. What love got to do with it? Uh-oh. Y'all thinking Tina Turner, aren't you? Y'all thinking about Tina Turner. But what does love have to do with it? Do you treat people with love? When they ugly, can you be nice? When they special, can you just smile at them? But what love's got to do with it? So I'm going to talk about that, go in detail about that. So there are many facets of love. Y'all know that, right? But the one I'm choosing to talk about, the one I want to minister on, Shay, is intimacy. When I say intimacy, where does your head go? What did it say? Sex. Well, that's one part of love, but that's not all about intimacy. So there's four facets of intimacy. There is the emotional. There is the physical. There is the spiritual, and there is the mental. So you might want to write this down. Because when you get ready to choose your boo, you need to make sure y'all connecting on these levels. How many levels did I say it was? What were they? Emotional, physical, spiritual, mental. So you want to make sure, because when God's word says don't be unequally yoked, if you get three of those and not four, you're settling. But let me keep on going. Y'all, I don't know where you're ready for that. But intimacy is one of the strongest components of a successful relationship. It's one of the most strongest component of a sexual relationship, because I'm sorry, I was on sex. Intimacy is one of the strongest component of a successful relationship, because when you enter into a relationship about intimacy, you have to be able to talk on all different levels. That person that you are intimate with will know things about you that no one else knows. And so They have to be able to receive the good, the bad, the challenging, and you have to be able to keep that to yourself. But check this out. I want you to write this down. Intimacy is a place in our heart where nobody has been. Uh-oh. How long have you been married? Some of us 38 years? Some of us 35 years? 3 years? All right. So have your spouse been to that place in your heart? Because that's what intimacy is. There's secrets that we have that we don't share with anybody unless we are intimate in our relationships. You can share your fears. You can share your dreams. You can share your concerns. You can share your doubts. You can do that if you have intimacy in your relationships. Now, a definition of intimacy, out of dictionary, says intimacy refers to a process of interaction in which social partners share personal and private thoughts. And I'm going to put this in there without being shot down. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Thoughts and feelings, they can come to feel understood, appreciated, and cared for by each other. Is that your relationship? Don't raise your hand. Just in case it's not. You should feel understood. So my wife should be able to tell me something. If I don't agree, I still should be able to understand. If she tells me, if I tell her something, she might not agree, but she can understand and appreciate it. I thank you for sharing that with me. Because see, I just want to warn you, married couples, about emotional adultery. You're sharing things that you shouldn't share with people that you shouldn't share it with. But one of the things about intimacy, you have to know that you cared for. That someone is looking out for your best interest. When that decision was made, they made that decision with you in it. It's even better when you discuss it with them. Say, with them. So there's no surprises. Emotional intimacy means our emotional needs, are being met when someone accepts us for who we are. And guys, if we want to go deep, one of our biggest fears is that, will they accept me? Will they like me? Will they appreciate me? And it goes on to say, cares about what's happening in our world. Y'all understand what I mean by our world, right? So although you're married, or although you're dating, or although you have relationships, the question you're asking is, will they care what's happening in our world? So when you come home, or when you see a friend that you haven't seen in a while, have you ever asked them, how was your day? What's going on with you? What's new going on with you? Do you know their names? Or do you just call them brother and sister? Y'all know that, right? And where we feel someone is invested in us and our relationships. Can your spouse say that about you? Can your friends say that about you? That you will stop what you're doing to help them? Do you know whether someone is invested in you? Or they're listening to you when you talk? Can they repeat back what you said? Or do they have a solution before you even finish telling them the problem? Uh-oh. I see some people looking away. See some people looking away. But this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about intimacy with God. I want to talk about intimacy with God, where someone knows us. How do we know that he's invested in our life? It's because he gave his life so we could live our life. So you can't get no more invested in that than someone would give their life for us when we were yet sinners. See, that's the part I think we need to understand. We need to understand that we wasn't where we are right now when he died for us. Some of us was cheating, stealing. What else? Y'all shout it out what we were doing. Just because they shout it out, that don't mean it's them. Drinking. Fornicate. Lying. That's four of the 30 sins. I'll start with that one. Fair enough? Start with that. But I want to talk about intimacy with God. Are you close to God? He's invested in you. Are you invested in him? Who have you shared his goodness with lately? Are we too busy doing what we do? Are we too busy having church that we're not the church? Because some people think church is only when we come. I'm just talking. Y'all hear me? So let's look at this scripture right here, because I just want us to get a glimpse of a scripture about his intimacy with us. This is Jesus talking. I have given them the glory. Now I'm going to read the whole scripture, then I'm going to go back. I have given to them the glory and the honor which you have given me, and that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one, perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. And let's go back and take a look. Jesus said, I have given to them the glory. That means he gave us the attributes that he possessed. He gave us love. He gave us peace. He gave us victory. He gave us rest. He gave us the anointing and honor, meaning that whenever our names are mentioned in glory, in the heavenly places, God looks at us with honor. That means we don't have the title of president or this title or that title, but he looks at us with honor, with total respect, because we belong to him. You ever had a child that went away for a little while? I'm not calling them prodigal son or prodigal daughter, but you hadn't seen them in a while. When they come back, you kind of make up over them. You know, it's like they trying to push you away because they grown, they think they are. And you want to hug them, you want to kiss them, you want to get in their face, and they trying to, you know, when we go to college or when we go to military, when we come back, we look at our parents different, and they want to make over us. Well, that's what honor does. God is making over us. And I've had clients that I've shared when I've taken them through a counseling process and took them to a place where they didn't think they were anything. God showed them in a moment of time, him watching over them sleep. In a first moment, children that the parents watched over the children while they were sleeping. I'm pointing to my wife over to my hand slip, pointing to my wife. You want to wake them up because you just want to see them. Well, he's watching over us. He says, you have given me. So the same honor that Jesus gets is the same honor that he's bestowing upon us. But when our mind is jacked up, we don't receive that honor. Not that he didn't give it to us, because we don't think we deserve it. I just don't find in the scripture where he's talking about what you deserved. That's what intimacy is. And they may be one even as we are one. So he wants us to be in agreement with where we go, what we do, how we do it, how we present him. Then it goes on to say, I in them, so where's Jesus? And you and me, in order that they may become one, perfectly united. What does that look like? What does it look like when we so united we think it's one? Not only think it's one, but think like him. When sickness comes, we think like him. Sickness, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, you have to flee. When lack comes, we speak to like him. Because if we like him, we're going to do what he does. He felt so comfortable leaving earth and leaving us in charge. So what we crying for when we have the authority to fix it? I'm just talking about intimacy. That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me. And that you have loved them. Touch yourself. Point to yourself. He said, repeat after me. And that you have loved me like you loved him. So how do we walk away feeling like we're worthless, we're not good enough, when that scripture right there in John chapter 17, verse 22 and 23 says that the same way God loves Jesus is the same way he loves us? That thing powerful, man. So what human are you trying to get to love you when you got the Godhead loving you? What do you think about it? That relationship didn't work? There it is right there. They didn't know who they were loving. Okay, so I'm going to work with y'all for a few weeks. All right, okay. Y'all used to be talking about replacing thoughts. So intimacy with God means these things. We are cared for. What does cared for mean? There is not a need that can come up that he hasn't already filtered. But if we're not intimate, we don't know that it's filled. Or we're looking for it to be filled over here, because this is the Christian we know and like. When he sends your enemy to supply you with that need, it can't be God. He said, I'll care for you. He didn't say how I'll do it. He didn't say who I'll use. But he said, I'll care for you. We are known. Now, the scriptures say, I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. And there's no condemnation to nobody. He says that he knows the hair on our head. Okay? So, you know, women got a lot of hair. But he said he got it. We have hair. He says he knows every strand that's in our hair. The ones that haven't grown up yet, he still counts. I mean, do you know how many hairs on your own head? But you know, he knows I'm going to steal down at night and get some pie. That comes as no surprise to him. I even asked Holy Spirit, where did she hide it? Because he know me. What does he know about you that you don't think he know? He know when we watch porn. He know when we lie. He know when we cheat. But he still cares for us. He knows when we don't think we are good enough. So that's why he asks us to do what we don't think we can do. Because he knows that in order for Paul to get that done, Paul is going to have to depend on me. Because he don't think he can do it. What do you think you can't do that he already knows you can? That's a real question. See, I've been good to y'all. That's a real question. I want to know. Who wants to share something that you don't think you can do, but he called you because he knew it could be done? I got a mic over there. It's real stuff.
I am practicing a song I've never sung before.
Okay.
And there, in the ending part of the song, there are some notes that are definitely not in my key.
Okay.
And so I'm saying, Lord, you got to do something here, something.
Okay. All
right. And so I have to trust that he's going to give me a way of ministering that song, whether it is to hit that note that I don't feel comfortable with, or give me another way to get to that note.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? So y'all know what's going to happen, right? She's going to hit the note, and then once it's over, she's going to say, you know Urkel, y'all, any of y'all ever watch Urkel? Can raise your hand if you watch Urkel. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He said, did I do that? That's what happens under anointing. You shift to a different being on the inside, and you have to ask somebody. That's why when y'all ask me questions and I'm under anointing, I say, you got to ask somebody else because I don't know what I said. But he knew that. So, Father, we stand in agreement with Sharon that note, that note is hit. And she's going to look for other songs like that because she's going to have to depend on you to go to a different place. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he knew she was going to say that, and he knew I was going to pray because he knows me. He knew her. But a relationship will last a lot longer if we felt understood, right, Elizabeth? So if we have intimacy with God, it means that we are understood. We understood. How many want to be understood, really? Okay. Raise your hand. Raise your other hand if you have been misunderstood a lot. Wow, more hands went up. But see, there's one person that never misunderstands you. Because intimacy with God means we are understood. Even when we want to sin, he understands us. And he tells us, but you know better. I've given you better. I knew you were going to do this when you got born again. But I did all those things to allow you to get to a place where you would choose different. Understood. I mean, you know, you get to a place in relationships where you don't even have to finish the sentence because they understand. My wife knows where I'm going to go, and she's patient and let me get it out.
Amen. You know when your children got special stuff going on, don't you? And but you understand now. Billy Bob just got some Nikes, Air Jordans. And so your child came home that day and said something about them. But because you understand your child, you know tomorrow they're going to cut the grass, clean up the house, because they're getting ready to bribe you. Tim, you know what I'm talking about? They get ready to bribe you because you understand them. We have closeness. Now, no matter how close you can get to in a relationship, you can't get close enough to get inside their heart. That's where he is. How close can you get? When you on the throne of God and you here in heaven, you in the natural realm and you in the spiritual realm, seated in high places with Christ, you can't get no closer than that you can be two places at one time. But see, we're talking about intimacy. How close can we go? How close can we get? Uh-oh, here it is right here. Intimacy with God means that we are never alone. When we feel lonely, we're not alone. God doesn't move. He doesn't break his promises. He stays exactly where he is in our hearts. And he's there. But we're never alone. When we feel like that nobody showed up, you're still not alone. Nobody said anything, but you're still not alone because he continues to talk to us. In our brightest moment, we're not alone. In our dullest moment, in our deepest pain, he never leaves us. But we're looking in the wrong place for who only has one place, and that's Jesus in us. So we're never alone. Uh-oh, this is a choice right here, though. We have peace, but I don't like peace. I like chaos. Because the scripture goes on to say that there are some people who can't go to bed until they cause trouble. Y'all know anybody like it? Raise your hand if y'all know somebody like it. Wherever you are, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he not talking about you, is he? Turn away real quick, so in case it's them. I saw one person point to the man. But what happens if peace comes and we choose not to receive it? Y'all ever heard somebody ministering to you and you didn't want to hear? Somebody say it right now. But that's a choice. My wife's scanning the congregation to find out who said it because she's going to straighten them out. But it's your choice. If peace comes, and all I have to do, think on those things. You knew it was coming. Y'all know I'm not going to be able to do a scripture without my Philippians. Think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and deserving of praise. Those things that you have both learned and received and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So if I don't want to hear that, then I can't have his peace. Now, peace in me, but I don't want to activate it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But we can't blame God because he made it clear. He said, think on these things. So if I'm thinking on anything other than that, I have his peace, but I don't operate in it. Intimacy with God means that we are loved. Uh-oh. You mean tell me he can love the unlovable? Because although we are Christians, some of us still don't think we should receive love. We are loved for who we are. Who are we? Some of us doctors, dentists, construction workers, what else? Y'all shout it out. Lawyers, teachers, what else? Counselors, project managers, clerks, cooks. See, he tried to meddle now. Appliance technicians, salesmen, nurses. So we are loved for who we are. That's what we do. Who we are is in Christ. Who we are is in Christ. That's why we can be the best at those things that we do, because we have him on the inside of us. So we are loved for who we are with no pretenses, no fear of measuring up, We are concerned about that. Well, you know, will I get this job? Will they like me? Will they listen to my ideas? But see, we operate in pretenses. You know, have y'all ever heard somebody's voice change once they got to church? You know they don't talk like, thus saith the Lord. But we change how we talk because we have these pretenses that you're supposed to act a certain way if you're in church. And then there's some of us that haven't caught that. And so we just who we are. If you're sitting in my seat, get out of my seat. If the usher tell them where to park, what? That's too far for me. If you say give, what they say? I ain't giving that preacher no money. I thought you were giving to God. But anyway, no pretense. So I had to ask myself when God called me to ministry. Can I be a pastor? Because I got some wild stuff going on. When the last time you heard a pastor say they cycle? Can I go to action movie where somebody gonna, where it's gonna be some blood in it? Can I still do that, God? Well, he knew when he called me what I was gonna do. Oh, let me move on from this right here, boy. I tell you, no pretenses. What pretense that you dealt with? That you felt like you couldn't share with nobody. It's real stuff, guys. I'm just talking about intimacy with God. Okay? All right. So y'all want me to keep going? All right? Okay. I got you. I heard him, Sharon. When we are intimate with God, we have unconditional acceptance. So you mean I can watch that movie, that action movie? I can go cycling? I can misread the word today? And he's still going to accept me? Because, see, he'd rather have your love than your regret. If you're going to read something, but you're going to hate reading it because I have to keep up with it, who wants you to do something like that? But if you love him enough, when you read, you're reading because you want to, not because you have to. See, everything he did it for us. But he freely gave, and it's up to us to freely receive. God's intimacy meets an internal need. And this is in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22 in the Amplified. Now, this internal need is what we need. But see, people don't want to talk about that. Now, since the COVID is going on, they're talking about emotional health. They're talking about those things now. You know, it's even okay for men, say men, to get counseling. Do you know how long I waited for that? 98% of my clients are women. 1% is children. What percent do that leave? 1% is men. But COVID says, and Dr. Fauci says, that emotional health is important. See, that's one of the reasons that God said that David was a man after his own heart. Because David shared some stuff. When David got mad at God, Corey, what he did was he told God. He told God straight up. He said, well, where were you at? I'm in trouble. What you going to do? David went out sinning. I mean, David set this perfect scenario up. I got in a high position. I like that woman. I'm going to get rid of that man so I can be with that woman. And in the end of all this, David still would seek God. He recognized what he did, and God said he's a man after my own heart. Because David told him exactly what he did. No, we're going to hide our stuff. And he said, all we got to do is go to him and repent. Now, I will tell you, it might be a shock to you, but if we go, if we get in debt, if it took us 5 years to get in debt, and we go to God and repent for taking this tithe and not being good stewards of our finances, he forgives us. But there's a consequence that needs to be paid. See, we want him to forgive us and forget everything. Y'all like this mess? I'm talking about intimacy. I'm being real before you. Now, he can accelerate that debt, getting out of debt, but we still did it. But the word grace, he'll give us the grace. So when the creditor call, we won't get all up in arms and start screaming at our spouse or our children or our dog or our cat. I'm going to keep on going. Let me read this scripture then, Elizabeth. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22, it says, that which is desirable in a man is his loyalty and unfailing love. Person gets hurt for two reasons that are hard to overcome. Is when we break that loyalty, they share with us, and then we share with others what only was shared with us. And so that loyalty is hurt. And then unfailing love, because somewhere in there they share it with you because they felt like they could trust you and that you loved them. And inside a man is where God has intimacy with us. It's an unfailing love. When he would go to the cross and die for us, what other love are you looking for? So I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm talking about, what kind of love are you looking for? When was the last time somebody gave their ultimate life for you? And when I say ultimate, what I mean by that is they committed no sins. They had no right to be punished. They took your place so that you wouldn't have to take their place. We deserve to die, but you allowed us to live, and you had a plan for it, and you knew what was going to take place. So I'm just asking you, you that are out there, you that know what I'm talking about, because you're hearing the sound of my voice, and you've been looking for intimacy all your life. Not only have you been looking for intimacy, but you were waiting for one man. You were looking for a human to say that you're special, I love you, and it never came. But there is a God man that died on the cross and is in glory. And he can't wait to tell you how special you are. Because you never saw yourself this way. He saw you this way. And you were included in one of the ones that he said, yeah, I died for her. Yeah, I died for him. And I would do it again. But that sacrifice did it for all. So those, repeat after me. And those in the congregation, I know you're saved and born again, so just repeat after me as a gesture of agreement with those who are repeating for the first time. So repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Your word says in Acts 2:21, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I call on your name now. I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Therefore, according to your word, I am now saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, all you do is you just go to chosenrva.com, and there's a part where it says salvation. And just go under there, and there are classes that my wife and I taught. Just take those classes and just fill out the comment section or shoot me an email and just to tell me who you are and the fact that you got born again.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com. Or call at 866-333-9505.